Here we go, guys. All right, good evening, everyone. A little late this week, as I told you, maybe next week too. It's Wednesday, November 27th, 2024. It's 9:04 p.m. in the evening here on the North Shore of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario. And this is the Fake Nukes Phil Jim Rizzoli Hour, where we get together and catch up with the world's most prolific Holocaust denier, and also the world's most deconstructionist Gaza fake war, fake video, fake nukes creator on BitChute. So welcome to Jim.
Hi, good to be here.
And Jim is still recovering from whatever ails him, but he's dedicated to his craft. He always shows up. He always does his walk and talk or sit and talks. He's extremely loyal to what he's doing. And I find that absolutely amazing, that such dedication. Anyone that's dedicated to one cause year after year, day after day, it just blows my mind, and doesn't get paid for it, I guess, is the main thing that's very admirable. And the other guy, of course, is Fake Nukes Phil, who is constantly pumping out the videos exposing the fakery, especially around Gaza. And I would say you're probably the only one in the whole wide world that doesn't have to pick a side, because you think that the whole thing is being staged, most likely by the hidden hand over there in the city of London, I would say, but you might think otherwise.
No, so, that could be true. I know that since the British have been there. Oh, thanks for having me, by the way.
Of course.
Glad to be here.
And thanks for both your financial donations to the Fakeologist cause. I really appreciate that, both of you guys. Put your money where your mouth is. That's what you guys do.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Jim did a little more than me, a bit more. But yeah, I contribute a little bit, but
doesn't matter. So, and every little, it's the thought that counts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a very enlightening. I find it very fascinating what's happening over there, what has always happened over there. And like you said, since the British were in Palestine, it's still under British control. And it could be the hidden hand from London.
So,
we know the London Bank is one of the richest in the world. But it's clearly a stunt. Somebody's getting rich here, and it must be somebody in the London Bank. And the Brits were involved in it. And the Jews could be putting themselves out as the bad guy, you know, pretending to be these baby-killing monsters. They released the videos themselves of them beating up Palestinian children. It's like, well, why are the Israelis releasing this video? It's because they want you to see it. And people need to think outside the box here. I mean, we're getting played. There's a lot of controlled demolitions going since it moved into the Lebanon theater. There's been a lot of controlled demolition that looks very similar to Building 7 on 9/11.
Yeah.
And again, this whole thing started with Netanyahu saying this was Israel's 9/11. Of course, that piqued my interest from the beginning.
Yes.
Then we started getting hundreds of Instagram videos every week, and just tons of information, and we began to see patterns in all these videos they were releasing. And so
by the way, Phil, your audio is kind of spotty. I don't know if anyone else is noticing.
Yeah, it's not that good. Yeah.
Oh,
Jim has the best audio now because he bought a microphone, which I really appreciate. He actually, the minute I mentioned it, he went out and got one. So I really appreciate that attention to detail and that attention to the audience, because the audio is really excellent on Jim's end. But yeah, Phil, I don't know if it's your connection or your mic, or you're a little spotty. So
maybe my microphone is a bit too close to my speaker. I've moved it away.
No, I don't know. I think it's your internet or your browser is just kind of interrupting the audio a little bit. And while we have you, that's not Jim making that laugh, and that's not.
Oh, hi, Lynn.
Well, that's
looking. I'm looking at the chat room here. Let's see. Oh, I seriously doubt Lynn is here.
Mm.
I don't doubt Lynn. Lynn is a Jew. I doubt her a lot. No, what I would not hold that against Lynn.
What happened was I didn't change the caption to tonight's show because I rushed it. But now the caption reads, Fake Nukes Phil, Jim Rizzoli, and Lynn Ertel. And even though we all come from slightly different perspectives, we all have the same desire for truth in common. But there, for us to all be aligned perfectly is insane. We all come at it from a different perspective, but we're all here for the truth. And the one thing I like about everybody here is no one is so dogmatic that they are afraid to check or see something new and learn something new. And Jim is really good because he's always putting new, different views on his channel, even though it's completely focused on the Holocaust. He does allow other ideas onto his channel, and he always is honest that he's trying to pursue the truth. He doesn't really care who it is and who's involved. Is that right, Jim?
Yeah, I just care. Like, I've been having a discussion this week with the Christian identity people, and you know, they're in this wacky stuff about, you know, the two seed theory and the Jews being from the seed of Satan and and the blacks too. And I just, this is what I say. I say, I don't give a shit if you're a Jew. I don't care if you're Catholic, you're Protestant, a Chinese. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I care about how you act. Yeah. That's what I care about. If you act like an asshole, then you're an asshole. You're going to hear about it. And I don't care. You know, people, they come against the Jews. Well, everybody's a Jew. If they don't like you, you're a Jew.
And it's, well, like, you're apparently a Jew too. You've been accused of, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm accused of being a Jew, too. Okay. Now, again, I might not like Jews or, you know, like what they do, you know. But the point is, a Jewish person has the right to say what they have to say. But it's how they act. That's what matters to me.
Now, if you don't like a group and you openly profess that, does that make that hate speech? Because this is what's coming to the whole wide world. So will that, what you just said openly, and you do say openly all the time, would that be considered illegal in the future, you think?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
That's what they're working on. They're working on, they can hate you, okay, but you can't hate them. All right, that's the issue. So what are you going to do? It's going to happen.
Sometimes, Jim, I think that it's a trap set for people. And the people that hate the Jews, it's a trap that has been set. So if you fall into it, they're going to use that against you, and they're going to change the laws. Do you ever think that's a possibility?
Yeah. This is where this is all heading. It's not what you say. It's getting to the point of what you think. So someone will say to you, "Well, I know you feel this way," and then they'll come after you by the way you feel. You know what I mean? It's kind of funny.
A thought crime. Okay, Fake Nukes Phil, are you back in the room?
Yeah, I changed browsers.
Hopefully that'll work. What do you think, Phil? Do you think the Jews are being set up as the scapegoat, as they have been in the past? We're always told they run things. But do you think that it's a setup with some compliant Jews that, you know, are compliant with the black nobility or the Jesuits or whoever is really running the show? I know everyone here mostly thinks it's the Jews that run the show, but what if it's a trap? So they've created this ultimate victim and created this whole infrastructure to protect them. And if everyone falls into the trap, then they're going to get locked up and laws will change. Do you ever think that's a possibility?
I can't really see what they're doing. I need to see what happened in the past to make a better prediction what's going to happen in the future. I'm trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together here to get a better view of what's happening. So they portrayed themselves as the victim during World War II, during the concentration camps, and I think that has been totally debunked. The gas chambers have been proven to be impossible. And the stories they were telling were just whoppers. And so now fast forward, now it looks like the Jews are playing themselves as the villain, and they're pretending that the Palestinians are the victims. It just shows that they choose who's the victim and who's not the victim. They even choose the native Indians to be victims, and they run my city council, the Kuya Indians, and they own the.
Hold on, the Indians are running your city council, and not the.
Well, they own the most expensive real estate on Palm Canyon, and nobody visits this museum, but it's there, and it.
Okay.
And they spend a lot of money.
This is news, because I thought it was the Mexicans that you were. The Indians have taken over. I'm not going to argue, because I do think this is a setup with this UNDRIP. It's called UNDRIP. They are going to give all the land over to the natives, and then the natives won't be able to run it. They're going to outsource it to the people that gave them all that land back in the first place. And I was just watching something from my daughter's university class.
I'm here to defend.
And the beginning, the young people in university are acknowledging the Indian lands that the university stole to plop their university on. So these young people are being conditioned to think that they did something wrong, or their ancestor did something wrong, and they owe all this back.
I'm here to defend the Holocaust, not deny.
Okay, well, I know one group that has never been portrayed as a victim, and that is the white male. The white male is the perpetual villain.
We're the baddies, yeah. The white people are the baddies, yeah.
And so
we're set up.
Every other group has been portrayed as the victim at one point or another. And so the white male has no country we can call our own. We can't go back to Europe. All the European countries have been replaced and changed forever, or it looks like forever. And
well, so nothing is forever.
Yeah,
nothing is forever. Maybe this generation.
South Africa, because they said that.
South Africa. Well, they gave that back a long time ago.
Back in the 80s. Yeah, the apartheid.
I remember that, and even I was against that, and I don't even live there. Hey, Lynn, what do you think? Are the Jews just being set up, or are they running everything?
Well, prominent Jews, wealthy Jews, have a disproportionate, way out of proportion to their numbers, influence in banking, law, academia, Hollywood, which is entertainment.
And why is that? Are they just smart not to do the crummy jobs and put themselves in
positions? I don't know. Maybe power? I think Jan Erik would say that they're selected for this role, but maybe, I don't know. You'd have to, maybe he'll call in and explain.
Are they also being replaced by the androgynes? This new class? I'm not even kidding. Mr. E thinks that the androgynous, they're being put in positions of power, and he's trying to point out half of Trump's cabinet are all these, they're not
really,
they're all these androgynous type people, 6'3" women.
Well,
I mean, where do they come from?
Who's he referring to? Pam Bondi, or who is he talking about? Susie Wiles.
I think Kelly. One of them's name is Kelly. Yeah.
Megan Kelly.
No, there's another new Kelly. She's secretary of something or other. She's 6'3", and apparently Trump is 6'3", and this woman is actually taller than Trump, so he says she's even bigger. So I'm just wondering if this is a whole new class, protected class being built things.
See, I'm about priorities.
All right.
And the biggest priority here is the attack on free speech and free expression. Because you're entitled to hate whoever the hell you want.
Okay.
Even Jews.
Okay.
And I'm ready to defend to the death someone's right to hate whoever the hell. It's about, now, it doesn't mean you can go out and directly incite people to violence. That's actually, you know, there are limits to free speech in terms of incitement to criminal acts.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as your opinion?
Are there really?
Well, yeah, it's called incitement to riot. If you get out and get up on a platform and say, let's go, well, like the George Floyd thing, what do you think happened?
Okay, here it is. Kelly Loeffler.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all right. Yeah.
Taller than 6'3", Donald J. Trump. So what is this person?
Yeah, so you guys are, you're all into the carnival sideshow.
I know. I like a lot
of
this.
This is important. It's an attack on free speech and the First Amendment.
Okay.
Do you know why they, man, you people, you don't got your priorities in order at all. You really don't.
By the way, what Mr. E does is going to be called hate speech too when he's actually questioning.
So it's most important to, even as he's, whether he's right or wrong, he may be right. Man, yeah. The important thing. You don't believe in the First Amendment, any of you guys.
Of course I do.
I'm an obsolete generation. I believe in principles. You don't believe in principles. You believe in races and tribes.
Not me. I believe in the First Amendment. Jim, do you believe in the First Amendment?
No, he doesn't. Yeah, he would never have supported the Third Reich if that were the case.
Okay, hold on. Don't put words in people's mouths. You got to let people talk. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I believe in the First Amendment. Yeah, no problem at all. Now, what did Lynn say about
Third Reich was a police state that completely suppressed free expression. We won't.
No, they had perfect rights.
Yes, they were. You couldn't defy the regime. They'd haul you away.
Hold on. Let him talk.
Lynn, can I talk? Okay, Lynn.
Go ahead.
You're not even accepting.
Go ahead. I have to mute her for a second. Okay, go ahead.
Here's the deal, okay?
Hold on.
Hitler was the boss.
Yeah.
He could do whatever he wanted to do. If the people didn't like it, tough. But that's what happened. Okay. Yeah. It was a tough thing. Some people kind of was, maybe hurt by it. They couldn't say what they wanted to say or do what they wanted to do. But it was so bad at that time. That's what he had to do to get things done. And the same thing has to happen today. All right. People have to be put in their place because they're out of line in what they're doing. It's the Weimar Republic. Again, the people have screwed up so badly and it's gone to the left so badly that it's going to go to the right so badly. I mean, it's not pleasant. It's going to affect everybody, but that has to be done. It's just like a parent that has kids. Your kids get out of line. You got to whack them in the line. That's what has to happen. And that's what happened in Germany because these bastard Jews, communist Jews, did think they could go in there and just do whatever they wanted to do and get away with it. 80% of them are communists. So Hitler had a right to put them into prison.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'm going to turn Lynn's mic on. Okay. She's going bananas here. Hold on a sec.
Talking about what people do. I'm talking about the ability to express yourself freely. This was canceled in the Third Reich, just as it was.
Well, yes. Here in Palm Springs, people are allowed to express themselves freely, but it's a total abomination. These people it's unhealthy for the children, for these people to express themselves freely. Absolutely. These people are dressing as a different gender.
So do you think they should not be allowed to express themselves in any way that's an abomination in your view?
Not in public.
Okay.
I don't think they should be doing it in front of children. And they're giving our
we're not talking about obscenity or pornography. I'm talking about political expression. I'm talking about challenging dictatorship. Phil, you don't give a fuck about the First Amendment. You don't give a damn.
Yeah.
You wouldn't lift a finger to defend it. You wouldn't.
Well, let's put it this way. The books that the Germans burned during the book burning, I would burn those same books today.
Well, you're free to burn books on your own. I think it sets a terrible example. It really does.
It was pornography books.
The ancient Greeks and Romans considered people who burn books to be vandals and barbarians. And I'm always siding with the Greeks and the Romans because that's Western civilization to me.
So Lynn, you support the pedophile, sodomite lifestyle.
No, that's obscenity. We regulate obscenity and
you promote or think that people should have a right to put their garbage in front of our faces. And we have to accept it.
No,
that is the First Amendment, is it not?
I promote the right. You guys don't know what the fuck the First Amendment is. You've never read the never read the Supreme Court cases on it. You don't know what the limits to free speech are. You have zero understanding of a 200-year tradition here in America, and infuriates me that you don't. It's obvious the school system has failed you.
Lynn, tell us about the First Amendment and tell us about its limits, if there are any. Should there?
Of course there are.
Okay, what are they?
Oh, man, you people are so fucking ignorant.
I know. Well, educate them. Educate me, man.
It's too late. Doesn't matter.
No, no,
you
no.
Don't
it's never too late.
Like,
this
Phil, I got to praise Phil. I got to praise Phil. As opposed, Jim is being disingenuous. He's saying, oh, I don't want drag queen story hour, and I don't want obscenity and pornography. Well, adults are entitled to indulge in what you might consider pornography. When D.H. Lawrence, by the way, D.H. Lawrence was a big supporter of Mussolini and Hitler. So was Julius Evola. Well, Julius Evola, I don't know if, you know, they published what might be considered pornography.
I'm not talking about pornography.
For adults.
I'm talking about.
You're talking about political dissent.
You brought up the point of the Fago story hour. Well, who's Fago story hour with? Kids. You don't get it. It's with kids. They have no right to present this with the kids.
But you don't regulate speech between grown-ups, you goddamn ignoramus.
Okay, Lynn, take it easy, man. Take it easy.
So
I had to turn Lynn's volume down.
What do you know about the Frankfurt School? Wasn't the Frankfurt School the first place where they did transgender surgeries? That was during the Weimar Republic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, well, I disagree with that. I think the Frankfurt School should not be allowed to have a government platform.
Hitler wouldn't allow it. He should have shot every fucking one of them. That's what I think he should have done. Okay? Now, Lynn, you could put that in your fucking hat and smoke it. How's that?
Okay.
Believe in the First Amendment, you lying bastard. You're not American. You're not American to me.
I'm a Christian.
You're not American and you're not a
Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian before I'm an American. All right. Do you understand what that Christianity is? Well, that's what I am. I am a Christian. Okay. I abhor that stuff.
You want to burn heretics at the stake? Want to burn heretics at the stake?
Yeah.
Christians did.
Yeah. Because they want to burn me at the stake. I'll burn them too. How's that? If they want to burn me, the fucking Jews want to burn me at the stake. And I'm going to burn them at the stake. The hell with you. Shoot every one of them. They don't deserve to live if they're living a life like that.
Totalitarian, you are. You want it all. You want to suppress political dissent. You want to lock up people who disagree. You want to restrict political speech.
Just
sodomites. That's what you're all about.
Just the sodomites.
Your dog whistles, too.
Just the sodomites, Lynn. Well, let's get rid of the sodomites.
Oh, you're going to round up all the gays and shoot them, too?
You bet your boots. We gotta get rid of all the sodomites.
Even members of your family? What if a member of your family happens to be gay? You want them rounded off and shipped off to a camp?
Nobody is in my family that's gay. Okay, nobody.
I can't believe what they're saying.
Something is called morals. You know, these people are immoral and they hate.
Challenging the Sandy Hook narrative.
These people are hated by God. You understand? You understand that? Their lifestyle, is hated by God. Okay? Hated.
You motherfucking arrogant bastard.
Okay, I didn't. Okay, Lynn, you're turning red.
Well, so I'm not for hanging anyone or shooting anyone. I think the Germans were doing a good job of correcting the problem without, I mean, sending them to a camp, it was not an extermination camp. They were getting some labor out of them. There were no executions going on. And the whole execution thing has gotten way out of hand. They executed some partisans, these people that were perpetrating terrorist attacks while in civilian clothing. And that was against the Geneva Convention at the time. And so, and the Germans photographed themselves killing these partisans. And they wanted to show that, hey, we're shooting these people. They're violating the Geneva Convention. And a lot of people get those photos mixed up with how the Germans were just slaughtering civilians left and right. And no, they were. They were doing a good job of cleaning up society without exterminating people. And there was a lot of there was lots of murders going on within Germany at the time, but they were they were isolated murders, and they were. It was not a governmental mandate to go execute people. And
all right. Lynn, you're gonna have to. Lynn, you're gonna have to calm down. I got Lynn's volume down a bit, but I don't want to. Otherwise, no one. We can't yell at each other, Lynn. We have to take it easy. We're all adults here, so let's just take it easy. All right. Well, what do we have?
I don't think Diggs for shooting anyone either. He's just basically the Germans didn't get their marching orders from Hitler. Of the eyewitness testimonies or of the interviews that I've seen of people that lived through that era, they were fighting Bolshevism. The average German soldier was fighting Bolshevism, and they were seeing the atrocities in each village they visited. They would see the young girls that were raped. They would see the old men that had their heads sheared off. They would see the old women that also had their heads sheared off. And so the average Waffen-SS soldier didn't need marching orders from Hitler. They knew exactly what the enemy was and who.
Phil, Lynn wants to know if you believe in the First Amendment.
Well, yeah, and that's I think Hitler believed in the First Amendment too.
Then you would never have supported a regime like the Third Reich, and they used to ridicule America because we had free speech here. And Hitler talks about how important it was to shut it down and to have 100% total control over all media, the press, the radio, movies. Joseph Goebbels censored everything. That's what you want to do.
Yeah,
you
Joseph
idiot.
Goebbels said that there
you
is help.
You fucking
there is...
idiot. And what's going to happen is they're going to use it against you. Don't you? Oh, you don't
well,
see
he,
it.
Joseph Goebbels said that there was healthy propaganda. And there's unhealthy propaganda.
They've already
he said the healthy propaganda
the
was
haven't they?
What was
they've already cyber-herded you on the bit shoot. You can't go anywhere else except here. So you can see what they're doing. How can you be so fucking stupid? Really?
Well, I mean,
Lynn,
you know,
it's okay for them to want to kill us, though, huh?
No.
Yeah.
Well, but I tell you what, it's stupid. Not to stand up for freedom of speech. It's the one.
It's the one differentiating factor.
I really didn't think this is what I'd be arguing about tonight. I really didn't.
No, it's the one differentiating factor.
And what David Irving has to say about gas chambers.
Well, here's the bottom line. So the Germans lost the war. And so for the past 80 years, the people who are responsible for your freedom of speech, Lynn, they're the ones who have been in charge of the world for the past 80 years. And so after these 80 years,
I'm responsible for my freedom of speech, and I've gone to jail for it. You haven't.
And so in the past 80 years, these people, these victors of World War II, what have they brought us? They brought us a media that we can't trust. They brought us fake moon landings. They brought us fake nuclear weapons, and they scared
everything.
Us with nuclear weapons for decades, and they're still scaring us. And they scared us with fake school shootings. They faked us with fake supermarket shootings, fake bombings.
Well, Phil, at least we can speak out against it still to this day.
Yes.
So
this is what's happened in the past 80 years since the freedom of speech people won the war. Because as you say, Lynn, the freedom of speech people won the war. And those evil Germans who burned those books at Frankfurt, they lost the war. And so the world that we live in today can be laid directly at the victors of World War II's feet. It is not the Germans' fault that we live in a world like we have today. It is not the Germans' fault. It can be laid at the victors' feet, what we have here today.
So you're about the blame game. You're all about the blame game.
It's not the Germans' fault.
No, they were innocent, completely innocent.
Well, they were the final resistance against Bolshevism and Japanese.
That meant suppressing.
And the Japanese
Lynn, I got a question for you. Who were the good guys during World War II?
Guys and bad guys. They're all bad guys. We're defending free speech. It's a principle.
All right, who were the good guys, though? I mean, Hitler was fighting communism. So were the communists the bad guys?
Bring Tim Osmond over here. He can do, you know, something. He can handle these people. I can't.
Well, what can Tim Osmond
come on and talk about the good guys and the bad guys?
No, no, but Lynn, who was the good guys and bad
grade
guys?
Talk. That's fifth grade talk. That's what.
Well, you're not answering the question. Hitler was fighting communism, and communism represents
suppressing democracy.
Will you let me talk, please? Hitler was fighting communism, and communism was the vial of vials of a government. Okay, so was that good that he was fighting communism or not?
Socialist, and he recruited. He actually invited all the non-Jewish communists. Invited them to join the NSDAP after the Reichstag fire.
Is that right?
Hitler said, you can read it. You can read his directives. He said, look, he said, a lot of these communists and socialists, the largest party in Germany were the German Social Democrats.
Right.
But you didn't know that, Phil.
They're the largest party today, are they not?
What's that?
Even today.
Yeah. The SPD, right.
Right.
And Hitler said, we are socialists too, but we're national socialists. Mm-hmm. And we want to flood, and we consider the Jews to be poisoning our blood racially. And that's what the Nuremberg laws on race and race hygiene are about. They're about restricting who you can have sex with, who you can marry, who you can hang around with. And then also their laws.
But
on
you're
life,
wrong about
on
something.
What do you
Hold
think
on,
about,
Lynn.
Like,
Hey, You're Jim. Wrong about something, okay? The Nuremberg laws was accepted by the Jews. They felt the same way. They didn't want to intermarry either. They didn't want to mix either. Do you understand that? It wasn't just Hitler. The Jews wanted to keep their race clean, and they didn't.
Okay.
Letting you know. Because you and your in Nuremberg laws, you could stick them up
you
your ass. Okay? The Nuremberg laws, you go one way with it, but you don't go the other way. You don't look at the Jews supporting the Nuremberg laws for themselves.
No, I don't.
Very disingenuous what you are doing right now.
The First Amendment guarantees the right of free association in addition to free speech and assembly.
And boy, well, it's what the government is—it's what the government is going to promote. See, right now, the government does not promote.
No, because
right now the government promotes
intermixing.
No, when I turn on the television, and every single commercial is about intermixing, and so the government is promoting the opposite of the Nuremberg laws right now, and so the Germans wanted to promote what we don't. What we are seeing on today's media is the opposite of what the Nuremberg laws wanted to promote. On today's media, are they forcing me to go date another man? No, they're not forcing me. But they're saying this is what our government is going to stand for. Our government is going to stand for everyone can marry each other, and whether you be a man or a woman, or you can marry whoever you want. Whereas the Nuremberg laws were, we're not going to force you to do anything, but this is what our government is going to promote, is that people need to marry a person of a different gender, and they need to marry somebody within their own race. And this is what our government is going to promote. Our government today promotes the opposite of the Nuremberg laws. And so this is the result.
And
there's nobody forcing me to be gay. Just like in Germany, nobody was forcing anyone to be straight. But it's just a matter of what the government was going to promote.
Now, homosexuals were rounded up for sure. They had a closet, but a lot of the top Nazis were also homosexuals, so they stayed in the closet. That's how it worked. Except for Ernst Röhm,
he Hitler dealt with him.
What?
Well, Hitler dealt with him, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure
he killed him. He killed a fag. He killed him because there's a fago. All right, he killed him. He didn't allow that. He wouldn't allow guys like him.
He used them to take power, and then he turned on him and stabbed him in the back.
Good. I'm glad he got rid of him.
Oh, man.
All right.
What an honorable guy you are.
He was shot for treason, it sounds like. I'm not familiar with the case.
Bullshit. That was bullshit. Those were the most loyal Nazis there were in the SA, in the brown shirts. They were the
fago Nazis. Yeah.
They were the heart and soul of his revolution.
Yeah, the fagos. The fagos sodomites.
Sold them out to the aristocrats and to the
the sodomites that you promote. You back up. But there you go. The fago sodomites, just like the American military with their fagos too.
from 1923, right on, for 10 years, they were the top Nazis. Ernst Röhm, his essay, Brown Shirts, they ruled the streets. And then, because the army and the aristocrats said, we don't like these radicals, you got to get rid of them, Hitler just rounded them up and had them shot, about 100 people.
Good for him.
And the whole there were traitors in the SA. I remember
there were traitors.
No traitors. No rule of law, no due process.
That's good.
There are members of the military. In a military, you don't go through due process. You go through a military tribunal.
They didn't have that. They didn't even have court martials for these guys. They were all just
murdered. When you're guilty of treason, the military takes care of you.
Yeah. I tell you what, you know who's really learned from that? And they're coming for you. The Zionists.
They're coming for you too, Lynn.
Yes, I know that, and I can't count on you to defend me.
Yeah, your own people are coming for you, okay?
Oh, yeah, they are.
There you go.
Well, I don't think Lynn's happy about it either, so.
No, I'm not. I think these idiots, I don't know what they're doing here over at Fakeologist, because it's pretty clear that Fakeologists don't care about free expression. It's not as important to them.
Oh, no, I think it's great. You could say whatever you want.
Killing the Jews, as rounding up and killing off all the Jews or the gays or whoever else, you know.
What are you talking, Lynn? What are you talking about, killing off all the Jews? They weren't killed. Are you one of these gas chamber retards? Are you a gas chamber nut? Are you a gas chamber nut? You believe in the 6 million were exterminated? Is that what you believe?
No, I don't think Lynn does.
My goodness.
David Irving, who I used to read in the Barnes Review and Institute for Historical Review.
Mm-hmm.
David Irving, I'd like you to hear this a second, because I really respect David. I know it's fashionable to dismiss and badmouth honest intellectuals who do their research. And there's no one whose research is more exhaustively documented than David Irving, if you opened up a book.
And he's 100% wrong.
You might know that, but let's see what David Irving has to say.
Oh, what does David Irving have? He believes in gas chambers.
Right.
He believes there were gas chambers.
Wait a minute. I'm sharing a screen. Would you like to hear what David Irving has to say about it? I think he's objective myself.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, are you curious? Do you care?
Go ahead.
Nobody cares about David Irving or Robert Forreson. Or anybody who's a true researcher and intellectual.
I think David Irving. Yeah. People
they
believe
want
in David Irving
whistle.
To a point.
This is dog whistling.
Okay, and go ahead, Lynn. Just read it. Read
you
what
don't
you
care?
Want. To
no, you're not curious. You're not interested.
Well, I'm not curious, Lynn. You know why? It's because the Bolsheviks were famous for torturing false confessions.
Well, they didn't.
What they did
David
was they
Irving.
Was they made David Irving's life so miserable that towards the end. He had to walk back on his comments.
I think David Irving. I think they got to him at the end. Yes,
he believed in gas chambers.
You want to hear what he has to say about it?
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sharing a screen. Can you?
I'm showing it. Go ahead.
If not, you can actually find this. It's quite easy to
find.
Can
you hear
it? If you put in Eric questioning the Holocaust, you should be able to find it. At the end of the line. But let me read through some of this now. Oh, and actually, I'm going to read it with the Hitler voice. Just because. And that's, again, this is not an having to go at Eric Hunt. I just don't want, you know, he's
who is
saying
this
about,
guy talking?
I have devoted a great
he's
deal
introducing
of my life
him,
to
wait a minute.
What is known as
no, but who is he?
He's an Englishman who's put out a lot of videos
saying,
on history.
I've enjoyed 18 months of imprisonment because I don't want to be saying that because I don't want it to be seen as if it's me. And then
I turned it down a bit. I don't know who this guy talking is.
Disparaging Eric Hunt here is because I want to protect myself. So he says he's enjoyed 18 months of
imprisonment. Let me find the spot where David Irving. Hey, look, if you're curious enough, you'll wait and I'll find the spot.
I don't know. You can get it, but why don't we talk about something?
No, you know, you don't care. There's no listen.
Yes.
We hate intellectuals here. We do. We hate people that do their homework, that do the research, that examine the original documents and arrive at an opinion based on that. That's the attitude here. And unless you're ready to convince me otherwise, I don't know why you'd even want to hear this.
Well, Lynn, you're wrong about David Irving. David Irving was great up until 2000. After the Lipstadt's case, he got his ass kicked by her. He had to spend $8 million or whatever. And after that, he gave in to the Jews. And now he believes that there were gas chambers. Can you believe it? The guy who talked against gas chambers, Jews being gassed, all that crap, he believes in gas chambers now. You want me to believe this guy? He's no good now. He was good before 2000. Now he's absolute shit. He means nothing now. He's nothing.
Because he doesn't.
Yeah, this is the thing. The documents can't be trusted. They all of them, and there's somebody in the chat here saying that everyone is saying my books are better than your books, and we can't see his comment right here.
David Irving for years.
But here's the thing, and he's right, because what we're doing is we're arguing over whose books are best.
Yeah,
Lynn's saying her books are best, and Jim and I are saying our books are best. I say let's go to the photographs. That's why we need to stick to the photographs and see if the photographs actually support the story of either side. And what I found in the photographic record.
Scholars, Jim and what? Phil, you don't like scholars. You don't like intellectuals.
Well, no, because like scholars. No,
well, no, they're questioning David Irving because they think he's. They think he flipped. We're waiting. Just quickly.
He flipped. He's a flipper.
He flipped. Right
now. It was his interview in 2009, I think. And in that video, he says that he thinks he in that video, this is Irving in 2009. He says that there was no he disputes the idea of Auschwitz-Birkenau being a gassing site. But he says that the Treblinka and Madonic, how you say it, and those other ones mentioned here were sites where Jews were gassed. And that's David Irving.
So these gassings did occur. If you accept that these papers aren't fake, and I don't believe for a moment they are fake, the gassings did occur in Auschwitz, but on nothing like the scale, which is part of the legend now. The mass marketing scale that was designed in that Madison Avenue meeting back in the early 1970s. It's got to be unique. It's got to be bigger than anybody else's. And then you can make billions out of it. So is David Irving a Holocaust denier? I don't think so. Because we now start looking totally elsewhere in Poland. We're looking no longer in Auschwitz at this Disneyland site in southern Poland. We're looking in eastern Poland along the River Bug. In eastern Poland, there are three or four sites which you can collectively describe either as the Bug River camps or as the Operation Reinhard camps. The Jews were being sent to these camps, and before they were
Excuse me, just a second. The Operation Reinhard he's talking about is in reference to those camps that were established by Reinhard Heydrich, who was assassinated by Czech partisans in 1942, leading to the eradication of the town of Lidice, which the Nazis were very proud of. Here's the rest of what Irving has to say.
Liquidated, being robbed of everything they had. It was a plundering operation. And here is where I say I had to cross swords with the main revisionist body. They don't want to believe the Reinhard camps exist. I think the Reinhard camps did exist. And I'm going to set out here very briefly the evidence for the Reinhard camps having existed. I'll tell you the names first. There was Delzec, Sobibor and Treblinka. And on top of that came the camp called Majdanek. You can go and visit all these camps in Poland now, but the reason they're not on the tourist route is because there's nothing to see. There's no buildings you can see, no execution walls, no buildings described as crematoria or gas chambers. They're just bald patches in the middle of a forest in each place. And to me, that is far more evocative, far more lonely and sinister. When you go into the middle of this forest and suddenly there's a 1 or 2 kilometer square bald patch where nothing seems to have happened. Until you find, for example, at Treblinka, there's a letter in the private papers of Heinrich Himmler who says, when the operation in Treblinka is finished, I want the whole site demolished and removed. Nothing must remain. I want the whole site grassed over and a farmhouse, a farmstead built there in its place, which can be given to some Ukrainian to run. If you really know how to look at the private papers of Heinrich Himmler, the chief of the SS, you begin stumbling across documents that have been clearly written as part of a cover-up. We don't have a processing figure for 1943.
Okay, Lynn, just, that's enough now. We got enough of this. I don't know if Jim has ever done a video or talked
I've
about
done it. Plenty of videos on Treblinka. He's absolutely wrong about Treblinka. There were no gas chambers in Treblinka. You can't prove it. You can't find them. There's no evidence of them. And he's going along with this bullshit letters from this guy and that guy, which were probably all fake. All right.
That's a transfer station. Treblinka was a transfer station.
There's a transfer camp, and there was no gas chambers. They claim 850,000 people were exterminated there. They can't prove it. There's no evidence of it, and yet they're talking about it today. And David Irving is 100% wrong on Treblinka.
Yeah, he's obviously been gotten to. And so this is the Bolsheviks did. They hung people from false confessions. You see, this is what makes the whole thing stink. The Nuremberg trial. They hung people from gas chambers that never existed. And even Lynn admits these gas chambers did not exist. And so people got hung, and the whole geopolitical story for the past 80 years has been completely changed because of these mythical gas chambers. And it's still to this day, the mythical gas chambers dictates how Europe is ruled in the Union, the European Union. It has never ended. It changed the politics forever. Why did they have to invent this mythical gas chamber story if the Germans were guilty? No, they did it because the Germans were innocent, and so they had to pin something on the Germans, and they just made it up out of thin air. And so they couldn't find a war crime. That the Germans had committed, so they had to invent one.
Think that David Irving flipped after the Lipstadt case?
Because the Lipstadt trial, yes, because he got creamed. $8 million he was levied fines with, and he probably had to make a deal with somebody. And now he's too sick to do anything, I guess. But he's wrong. From 2000 to now, he's absolutely wrong. And then he was talking about, in this video here, he was talking about Auschwitz, and he was talking about the Red House and the White House being gas chambers. There were barns. They were just barns. How do you put a gas chamber in a barn? Absolutely nonsense. He was talking about that. I mean, come on, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something got to him. It's obviously... this was a gotten to situation, and he had to retire. He was old. He had no fight left in him. I mean, he has a wife, he has daughters. And so David Irving had to think of his family, and he just walked it back is what he did. It's the same thing that happened to Halbig.
Wolfgang Halbig. Wolfgang Halbig,
a fighter. He was until he got into his 70s, and he just had no fight left in him, and he just walked it back. He agreed, I won't fight you anymore. Because, you know, he has a wife also that he's got to think of. And you get to a point where you're just too old to fight anymore. And they're bashing you all the time. And Wolfgang Halbig and Lenny Posner is the classic illustration of what happened in Germany. Lenny Posner was the lying Jew who was blaming Wolfgang Halbig for seeking too much truth. Wolfgang, you're asking too many questions. And Lenny Posner felt that he was above the law and he didn't have to answer Wolfgang's questions. And so we got into a big legal case. And since the Jews control the courts, Lenny Posner was able to win his case. But Wolfgang Halbig had to forfeit his website. And I followed the Wolfgang and Lenny Posner battle for some time. And it was a classic example of exactly what happened in Germany last century.
All right. Do we want to keep going on this topic, or we want to switch to something else?
I would like to address a post in the Fakeologist forums, which I know neither Phil nor Jim give a damn about either.
Okay, go ahead.
And probably have never been there, but Phil claimed that he had photographic evidence. See, I was kind of taking Phil at his word as being the photographic expert, and he featured this particular.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Picture as an example of the horrors of Dresden.
Yes.
But we have a poster named Pasterno, And he says, he refers to, he repeatedly claims that the Germans documented the crimes committed by the Western nations. And at 4:30 in Phil's video, he presents this photograph as an example. However, this image is clearly fabricated. The idea of an entire family dying together in such a way is simply not plausible. That is exactly
well, here's what, word here's the story word, I heard about this
the
photo.
The argument that Phil gave me over the Jonestown Guyana photos. Now listen to what else Pasterno says.
Here's the story I heard about this photo.
However, the image is clearly fabricated, right? Here's another one. In fact, this photograph is actually official United States war photography. This one here.
So it's not German.
No. The change in U.S. propaganda is 1944-45, aimed to showcase the immense destruction capabilities of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that Dresden should be considered in the same vein as Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I don't know that because I've read Kurt Vonnegut's novel, Slaughterhouse 5.
So what you're saying is...
he was a prisoner of war in Dresden, and he said they were attacked. American POWs were actually physically assaulted by ordinary Germans because of the casualties from the bombing of Dresden. But
do we have photos of these American soldiers that came back with permanent injuries?
Well, I believe Kurt Vonnegut. I do. Well, he's a great writer, a very honest writer.
So you're saying the American...
I don't know whether Vonnegut is a German or Scandinavian name, but I don't think he would lie about it.
So this guy said that the Americans took this photograph to demonstrate how lethal their incendiary bombs were.
You know what? That's what I think happened with Lidice in Czechoslovakia, because Czechoslovakia was... Reinhard Heydrich was assassinated in 1942 by Czech partisans. Hitler issued orders to the whole of Europe. They publicized it. They said, this is what we're going to do to you if you assassinate our leaders. We're going to eradicate you. And they wiped out the village of Lidice. I think they killed all or most of the men.
Yeah, that's the same as Ordur sur Glane in France.
They boasted about it. Now, Czechoslovakia was heavily, heavily occupied by German divisions. And consequently, the Russians, which is to say the Soviet army, they liberated Berlin before they liberated Czechoslovakia. So Czechoslovakia was one of the last places liberated by the Red Army in May of 1945, over 3 years after the massacre of Lidice. So my question to Phil is this. Did the Third Reich fake the pictures that they released of Lidice to show Europe as a warning of what they would do if partisans assassinated prominent Nazi leaders like Reinhard Heydrich?
I saw three photographs from Lidice. Three. So it didn't look convincing. So you're saying the Americans took this photo and to demonstrate how lethal their incendiary bombs were? Well,
as a warning.
So we agree that these are dead Germans here. This is a dead German family.
I don't know if
there
are not.
We don't agree on that? Yeah. We don't agree on that?
I don't know. I don't know how they died or why they died. I don't know anything about this.
It looks like they got cooked to death in a basement. And I think the story behind this picture is they brought him.
Phil wants to believe what he wants to believe. He doesn't care about objective evidence. He has no way of knowing.
Because we have bodies in Hiroshima that look exactly like these bodies right here. The clothing did not burn. They were asphyxiated to death. They were baked like an oven, just like in Hiroshima. We have bodies in Hiroshima that look just like this. The same weapon was used on these people as in Hiroshima.
Oh, a nuclear weapon?
I think it was
incendiary bombs, just like Dresden.
I like what Pasterno says here, if I can quote him. And I don't know if this is true or not. I never believed it was true. I thought Dresden was authentic. I thought it was a monstrous war crime. I always have. But here's what Pasterno said.
Mm-hmm.
Dresden should be considered in the same vein as Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The goal was to display power to the people. We are the new hegemon capable of reducing entire cities to ashes. of obliterating them with atomic bombs and of leaving nothing behind if we so choose. The more I consider it, the more it seems likely that the center of Dresden was largely abandoned in 1944 and that the inferno killing hundreds of thousands never occurred. There was likely some destruction, but not to the extent claimed. The same is likely true of Hiroshima. The city was likely largely empty in 1945. And while some bombs may have been dropped, it is unlikely they were nuclear or the 2,000 bombers rained hellfire upon the city. I believe that the U.S. Army is not as powerful as it is made out to be. It is largely a propaganda operation.
I agree with that.
To impress people.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And it goes on, as we've seen in the fabricated Gaza conflict, their goal is not to present themselves as the good guys, but to appear powerful as defenders of global peace, the front line. I believe that the death tolls, now this is Pisterno talking, not me.
Yeah.
I believe that the death tolls.
I like this post.
The death tolls of Dresden and Hiroshima have been greatly exaggerated. I believe it is largely a spectacle. Hiroshima provided the Japanese emperor with an exit, an excuse to sign an armistice and a surrender. A false bomb dropped by his surrender while maintaining his position 2 days later. Of course, I'm convinced that the real reason the Japanese surrendered is because the Soviets, Stalin, declared war on them. They had a whole army stuck in Manchuria, and they didn't want it to fall into the hands of Stalin. They much preferred surrendering to the Americans. And that, I believe, is the reason why the emperor and his advisors decided to finally surrender, not Hiroshima or Nagasaki.
Well, that's let's put it this way. Phil, all your good work on Gaza really actually shows that this has probably been going on a long time, and it makes probably more sense to align your views backwards retroactively with Dresden.
Here's the deal. The photo that Lynn just showed of those dead German families, that is better mannequins than what we're seeing from Gaza. From Gaza, we are clearly seeing mannequins. Whereas if you go back to that picture that Lynn just showed, you can clearly see the exposed skull of those dead people. You can see where the skin has burned off, and there's actually
I think it's
bones.
Just a different degree of propaganda. I still agree with Pisterno on that. And did you read this comment from Virtual Reality Witness? The military is such a psyop, like tanks, for example. Tanks are completely obsolete and have been for decades, yet they still parade tanks around like they have any use at all. So, yeah, I agree. I agree. It's just more heavy propaganda, and we are propagandized to death, literally. So,
well,
anyway.
I agree. Yeah, they told us that they had uranium-tipped bazookas that could take out a tank, any tank.
Well, and look at what they're producing. Look at what they're talking about now. All these cruise missiles and all these different kind of missiles. It's all propaganda. They have never shown us anything other than CGI. Show
except
us a real cruise
for
missile.
World War II, except for World War II, we got some pictures of some real dead people. And so he was saying that the numbers from Dresden were greatly exaggerated. At least Dresden can show us some photos of some dead people. Here's what I say is greatly exaggerated.
U.S. war propaganda.
The dead people in London. We were told that 7,000 people died during the London Blitz. Well, I think that number is extremely exaggerated because we haven't seen a single photo of a dead person from the London Blitz. And so at least the Germans can provide some photos. Whereas the British,
I don't know. How do we know they're German photos? I think they're American U.S.
Well, because
photos.
we go through the whole category of Dresden, and we can see that they're wearing German clothes. We can see the skyline. We can see that it's Dresden. We can see the street.
Pisterno made clear that those photos were supplied by the U.S. Army.
U.S. military.
U.S. military taking pictures of dead Germans.
But it's all for propaganda, though.
You don't know.
Scare. Yeah. Anyway. Well, Jim, do you have any final comments? We've been going about an hour, and I have to cut it short. Well, I have to only go an hour.
I want to know if Phil supports free speech and the First Amendment. Yes or no? I want to know if Phil and Jim would fight to defend freedom of speech, even if it was an opinion you disagree with it or somebody you hated.
Well, Jim already said.
I disagree with the Frankfurt School. I think the Frankfurt School should be burned
down. That's not what I am. Phil.
So is that a yes or a no?
I don't believe that the Frankfurt School should have free speech.
Okay.
Oh, so you want to selectively decide.
Jim, what do you think?
Let me set the record straight, okay?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I believe in free speech 100%. And now the people that are sodomites, they can have their free speech too. I have no problem. They can say whatever they want. But to force your garbage onto me and think I have to believe it, that's a whole nother story. But if you want to talk about that stuff, that's your belief system, fine. But again, forcing it upon other people, and if they don't agree with you, and then you calling them, you know, all sorts of racist and, you know, whatever you want to call them, I don't agree with that at all.
All right. Okay, well, this...
You don't really believe in the First Amendment. You're un-American, as far as I'm concerned.
I know, you...
Jewish, non-Jewish, Gentile, you guys are un-American. That's the bottom line.
What do you mean? I just told you how I felt. How un-American is that? I said the fags can talk all they want. Let them talk all they want about their faggy stuff. Okay, go ahead. You can talk all you want. I don't care.
So Jim is for absolute free speech.
Absolute.
You just said I don't want you. You don't have to listen to it, and you don't. You can turn it off or plug your ears. All right, Lynn. Lynn, you were on fire today. I hope you didn't blow any valves tonight. You did. I didn't think we were going to get into this topic, but
I didn't either. But these guys.
I know. Take it easy. Lynn is. Very, very hot under the collar tonight, and I've had to rock your volume a bit, Lynn, just so we don't blow up my ears. So I hope you don't mind, but we got your video on there. But Lynn, thank you very much for bringing some of your bringing the Fakeologist forums up. I appreciate that, and thanks for giving your history on different topics. I agree with Jim, that I think something happened to David Irving. They got to him when he reversed course, which is too bad.
You know how many years I subscribed?
I know, but that doesn't make a difference. Jim, do you have you did videos on David Irving?
I've done videos on everything. Treblinka, all the death camps, or David Irving. I've done everything. Okay. I mean, really, I've studied David Irving. Read, you know, I listen. Don't give me this stuff about David Irving. I've done plenty about him. All right.
Well, I don't think Lynn has looked at your work. So
no, she doesn't. She's not going to look at my work. She don't care about truth. She wants to just present her stupid stuff.
No,
okay.
I think Lynn would look at it. Just everyone can email Lynn@fakeologist.com. If you can find it, send it to Lynn. I think she'll look at it. Lynn is pretty open minded, and so is Phil, and so are we all here.
I need photographs. Somebody needs to give me some photographs of some dead people in London.
All right.
Or Warsaw. If please get me some dead civilians at Warsaw. It seems that nobody took any pictures of these dead civilians. 17,000 dead civilians at Warsaw. Nobody took a picture of them.
All right. Well, guys, thanks a lot. This was pretty entertaining. Lively as usual. Lynn, you always bring it to the table. We appreciate it. Thank you for showing up and showing us what you know. And Jim, appreciate you coming on. It was a lively, entertaining. I didn't even know what we were going to talk about tonight, and I just went there. And Lynn didn't either. So, Jim, we'll see you on the sit and talks.
Yep.
And Phil, we didn't get to any of your material either tonight, so maybe next.
Okay, this was very entertaining. Jim, you did a great job.
All right. And Lynn, you did a great job, too. I appreciate it.
You either care about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, or you don't. I know. You don't. And that's because you're un-American. You don't give a shit.
Oh, come on. They're American.
No, they're not. They don't understand what this country
is. I just explained what I felt. How un-American is that?
He's not listening. She can't hear it. She's all riled up.
It's like, I just, hold on, is that un-American? I said they have a right to say whatever they want. I don't care what they say. But I don't have to agree with it.
No, me neither.
Our government promotes their speech. I see it on the local news here. The government does not promote my speech. And so there is no freedom of speech. The gays get more freedom of speech than I do.
Yeah,
and so that is what's wrong.
Well, there's freedom of speech, just not freedom of reach. And Elon Musk told you that when he was setting up his new version of Twitter. So that's how it works. We have freedom of speech. We're talking now. It's just nobody can hear us because we don't have the megaphone. We don't have the mic. And if you guys keep up with it, but we're doing our best. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. We'll see you on your I guess Lynn will be back on your podcast, Phil, this week.
Yeah, if we want to do another show next Wednesday, I'm getting in a lot of trouble for having Lynn on my podcast. So I think I'll pass this week. Yeah, I think I'll pass this week.
Okay, Lynn needs to cool down again. So so she's not back on your podcast this week.
I'll pass this week. In fact, I'm going to go camping because it's Thanksgiving weekend, and so I got to go camping.
I think we all should go camping, really. Actually, most of the audience is probably off anyway now because it's the long weekend in the U.S. So we'll see if I'm here next week as well. I might take a break as well, and we're going to slow it down towards Christmas. So anyway, thanks, everybody, for joining, and we'll talk at you next time. Check the schedule at fakeologist.com/live. That's where I put my calendar where I do – let you know what shows are going to be on. And
thanks everyone for coming out. Thanks for having me too.
Thank you.
Okay. Good to talk. We'll see you next time, guys. Thanks, everybody. It's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world.